I've got Philippians 1:3 for you on the screen. I hope you have your Bible. Let me read it to you. You already know what it says, but let me read it like this. It says, Eucharisto to theumo epipase themanaya humon. Is that not the translation you have? I give thanks to my God because of every and all remembrance of you. The first is the Greek. I'm reminded of a teacher who had just given her second grade class a lesson on magnets. Now came the question session to the class. She wanted to see if the class had observed exactly what she was trying to teach. So she asked the class. She said, "My name starts with an M and I pick up things. What am I?" Little guy in the back of the class raised his hand and says, "A mother!" You ever felt like moms, you pick up things all the time? Dads? Well, I remember my household with Michael and Bethany growing up. We did have to pick up a few things, but you know, that was such a joy. Moms, let me tell you something. I honor you today. I've already said that. But I watched Connie as she and I together raised Michael and Bethany, and I watched the work, the ministry she did in spending time with our children. Connie was a chauffeur, a referee, a sportscaster at the ball field, an umpire, she did better than the guy behind the plate, the encourager, she was a family counselor, a disciplinarian, a maintenance lady, a cook, a housekeeper, an interior decorator, and I can assure you, our decorations changed frequently when our kids were at home. She was a bookkeeper, a dietitian, an advocate, a secretary, a hostess, a shopper. She was a consoler, a recreation planner, a nurse. Well, oftentimes she was better than the doctor. A discipler, a fashion coordinator, a mechanical engineer, and a friend. And in all addition to all that, she was the wife of a pastor. To this day, I do not see how that lady right there did it. And my hat and heart and everything is off to my wife, who I see is the greatest mother on the face of this earth. Folks, let me tell you something. Our society and cultural demographics are changing every day. The older I become, the more fortunate I realize I was to be blessed with a godly mom. One who loved me beyond anything I could have ever imagined. One who disciplined me, and if you knew my mom, boy, did she discipline me. One who discipled me in the faith. One who was in church with me right here constantly. I was so fortunate. 81% of women today become between the ages of 40 and 44 are moms, many of which are called upon to lead their home as a single mom, and most of these single moms are juggling a full-time job or multiple jobs in order to make ends meet around the house. We've already mentioned this. Those foster moms, perhaps they could not have biological children, and God led them to parenting by being a foster parent. Or perhaps you're not a biological mom or a foster mom, but as we've said, you just love children, and you've parented those children all your life. Perhaps you're a stepmom today who's raising the children of your spouse. Whatever responsibility you have today as a mom or a grandmom in this society and in this church, I salute you and I thank God for you. Folks, our message this morning is very simple. As Paul said to the church at Philippi, I want each of our moms and grandmoms in this place to know how much I thank God for you, but even more, as much as your role as a godly mom and grandmom honors God, thanks, moms. In the United States, Mother's Day was first suggested in 1872 by a lady by the name of Julia Ward Howe. You might remember her because she penned the words of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She wanted a Mother's Day to be a day dedicated to peace, and she organized then what was called Mother's Day meetings in Boston every year. And then in 1907, a woman in Philadelphia by the name of Anna Jarvis launched a campaign to establish a national day, the second Sunday in May, that we today have as Mother's Day. She persuaded the mothers in the church in Grafton, West Virginia, to celebrate Mother's Day on this day. And within a year, Mother's Day was also celebrated in a lot of the other churches in Philadelphia. Mrs. Jarvis and others began to write to ministers, business leaders, and politicians, hopefully to work and begin their understanding of Mother's Day to become a national celebration. And in the year 1911, Mother's Day was celebrated in almost every state. And in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made an official announcement announcing that the second Sunday of May would always be proclaimed as Mother's Day. Being a godly mother in our society is such a treasure. And in order to be that godly mother, God has shown us specific things in Scripture about what it means to be that. Paul himself loved the church at Philippi. And he begins this letter in the New Testament with such an affirmation of the gratitude for what the people had meant and continued to mean. As a matter of fact, what Paul does in the book of Philippians in this letter is that not only does he thank the church at Philippi for them ministering to the need, he takes the time in these chapters to let you understand what Christian unity is all about and the very pivotal part of that unity, which must be Jesus Christ. And so he writes the letter just to say thanks to the church. Oftentimes the words thank you have been removed from our vocabulary. It seems as though parents no longer teach these important words as they used to their children. They are being heard less and less from our children and from our youth and even from our adults in this society. I call upon us that we need to return to a time of being a thankful group of people. And I encourage you this coming week, this day, say thank you to your mom. Let them know that they are loved while they're still on this earth. Maybe this week, write a letter, a note to someone, and just say thank you to them for no reason whatsoever. We don't do that as much anymore. So I look back, and months ago when I was looking at Mother's Day, God directed me to this simple little verse that he used for the church at Philippi to write his letter. And it says, I give thanks to God for every remembrance of you. So there are three things I want to tell you. Here's the first one. In your outline, I just want you to write the word thank you. Number one, just simply write the word thank you right up there. I give thanks. And that word in the Greek is a word perhaps you have heard before. In the actual first person singular, it's eucharisteo. We know it in the noun form as eucharistos. You have heard the term Eucharist. The word is used in the Roman Catholic Church to refer to the Mass, in particular to the observance of what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. The word simply means to give thanks. And so when Paul says to the people there, he says, I give thanks, but in particular what that word means, it means to be thankful for something that has been given to you that you do not deserve. See the difference? Eucharistos, or in the verb form, eucharisteo, means that you give thanks to someone for something that you do not deserve. Folks, I don't deserve grace. I deserve death and hell. But God sent His one and only Son to die for me, take every sin that I would ever commit to a cross, so that one day, at His appointed time, I can live with Him in eternity. I thank you, God, for grace. But the older I get, as I told you a few minutes ago, the more I realize how fortunate I was to have a mother who loved me unconditionally. She loved me enough to discipline me. She loved me enough to take me to church and make sure I heard the gospel. She loved me enough to clothe me. She loved me enough to feed me. And I could go on and on and on about that. One day I was sitting in my office at Mount Zion Baptist Church back in the late 70s and early 80s. And my secretary buzzed me back and said, "Randy, it's your mom. That's nothing unusual. We talked quite a bit." Mom got on the phone and she said to me, "Randy, I just wanted to call you and say, I just thank God for you." And I thought to myself, you know, all these years, why didn't I just pick up the phone and call her and say, "Mom, I thank God for you." No reason. No reason. Just say, "Thank God." That began that day a new part in our relationship. I had already finished seminary, college and seminary for the first time. And I was in the, quote, profession. God called me. It took my mom calling me in an afternoon, in a routine day. "Rand, I just want to say I thank God for you." I'm so glad she did that. I'm sorry I didn't. But over the next years of her life until she went home to be with the Lord in the last century, I got a chance just about every few days or whatever and to talk to her, and I would always say, "Mom, I thank God." Paul said to the church at Philippi, "I thank you, Eucharistos." But he was saying more than just gratitude. He was saying to that church, "I thank you for all that you have done for me. Everything that you have done for me, thank you." So sons, let's be sure if our mothers are alive and we can, get on the phone today and just remember all that they taught us and say thank you. That's what Paul did. And he used the word Eucharistos, which is far deeper than a simple thank you. It is a thank you that says, "I don't deserve your love, but God gave you to me." Wow. There's a second thing. Just write the words down there, "thank God." See, that's what Paul says. He says, "I give thanks to" who? The Greek says it like this. They begin the word with Eucharisto. Thank you. To Theo. God moved. Eucharisto to Theo mu. That's the way they write in that case, in the syntax. It's thank God of me. He says, "I thank my God." And he uses the word theos or theo in this case, which is understand the very fact of the creator of this universe. When that word is used, it means the God of this universe, the one who created it. So I give my thanks, first of all, to God. That's why a few minutes ago when I prayed and I said, "Lord, the greatest thing we ought to say in this house is thank God for Jesus, the very fact that you're here." That's what Paul said. Folks, the reason God sent us our mothers is because of Jesus and His providential care for you and me. The God of me, he says, one supreme natural being as creator and sustainer of this universe. That's why we can give thanks to God for moms. I love the scripture here. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. "My son, keep your father's command and do not reject your mother's teaching. Always bind them in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk here and there, they will guide you. And when you lie down, they will watch over you. When you wake up, they will talk to you. For a command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and corrective discipline is the way of life." I told you I still learn from my mom. Oh, I always will until the day I die. And we referred to it already this morning. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find the capable wife? She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. And then down in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her sons, her children, rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her also. Many women are capable, but you surpass them all. Charm and deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Mama, thank you for being a godly mom. Number three. Just write the word down there, remember. Remember. Paul says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. The word in the Greek for remember is a little word we pronounce, manaya. And the word means to recall information from memory, but not implying that you've forgotten something. It means to intentionally remember it. And then the Greek people use a little word called passe. The word actually says, passe te manaya humon. Passe is the word for all. Temenaya is the remembrance humon of you. Your memory. Remembering who your mom is. He's remembering the people at Philippi, but he uses the word passe. We translate that all. Folks, all means exactly what it says in the Greek. Everything you can possibly imagine. So not only do we thank our moms, not only do we thank the God of our moms, we thank them for all, everything of what they had done for us. A remembrance. Not a thing that, well, I've forgotten about it. No. It's intentionally remembering what moms have done. And he's not thinking of just one remembrance. He is thinking of all the remembrance. Now, let me put it in the context of Philippians. Paul is writing them to say, thank you for everything, all the things you have done for me in providing financial assistance, in providing food, in taking care of me, in helping us build the ministry that God has called me to do. Thank you for what you are and have been and continue to do. Mom, I thank you for what you did, what you're teaching me now, and where you instilled in me the legacy to live a godly lifestyle in my life. And that came from Mama's teaching for me. So I thank God for Mom because I remember. I'm not fortunate enough, and many of you in this house are in like manner with me. We are not fortunate enough to be able to pick up the telephone or to be sitting beside our mother and to be able to hug her and tell her I loved her. Don't miss the opportunity that you have in this day and time, because that opportunity is fleeting. And one day you too will be on the other side of that, and you will need to do as Paul said, I thank you, I thank God, and I remember what you have done for me. Now, my mother was a stern disciplinarian. I didn't get away with anything, ever. There was a small tree in our backyard that I knew she grew especially for me. Now, for those of you under 30 here, that tree wasn't grown for me to look at. It was grown to make the switch that she'd get after me with. And the worst thing is I had to go cut my own. And I got to be honest with you folks, those things hurt. I guess Mom would be arrested today for child abuse for disciplining me like that. But you know something? I'm just so glad Mama loved me enough to discipline me. The Bible says something about that a whole lot. In particular, Hebrews chapter 12. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time. That's right, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And I remember my mom's discipline. oh boy. But I remember her incredible, unconditional love for John and for me. I never doubted my mother's love, and I am so proud to stand in this pulpit today and remember all when it comes to her. I was one of the blessed and fortunate ones of this world. Thanks, Mom. Dr. Dobson, in his book, Children at Risk, wrote this. He said, countless times each day a mother does what no one else can quite do as well. She wipes tears, whispers a word of hope, eases a child's fear. She teaches and she ministers and she loves and she nurtures the next generation of citizens. And she challenges her children to do their best and be their best. But few people take notice. There will be no news stories proclaiming the virtues of a child being taught what it means to be loved, or that an infant was hugged securely today, or that the wonders of the classics were introduced to a young mind. No one seems to care that a house was made into a home, or that a mere table with food was transformed into a place of fun. Well, it isn't too late to restore that fine art of motherhood to its time-honored position in our society, in spite of the current hostility and the lack of support from many people, and in particular husbands, and an incredible pressure from our society and outside the home. A real mom will continue to affirm the importance of being a godly mom. Thanks, moms. As a child, you walk before me. Set an example and to protect and care for me. And as a teenager, you walk behind me, never getting far away and always teaching me godly principles. As an adult, you walk beside me so that as two friends, we can love one another deeper than ever. And as a Christian, we walk together as brothers and sisters, redeeming the time God gave us. Grateful for moms. I'm so grateful for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for moms. Thank you for the God of our mamas. And help us, Lord, to remember all. Those of us in this house who have been fortunate to have a mom like me, to God be the glory. But then, Father, as all of us grow older, we realize how fortunate and how blessed we are and have been. Teach us in this world today, and Lord Jesus, we can live out and be a godly mom to many kids who don't have that. Thank you for these who love children. Thank you for these moms who mother children. Thank you for these foster moms who take children into their home. Lord, you taught us love through our mothers. Thank you, Lord, that today we can honor you and honor them. We love you, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, maybe this morning there is your mom sitting next to you, and in just a minute when we stand up, you just want to hug her, all the kids. Or maybe you got a mom in this house, you just want to go hug. It could be your biological mom. It could be just a mom. It could be another lady that you just want to say, you know, I thank God for you. And maybe there's no reason at all for you to get up and go hug that mom, but just to say thank you. You know, somebody may just need to have your hug today. Some of our ladies, guys may just need to hear thank you to come from men. I know, guys, that's kind of hard for to get out of our mouths sometimes. But it's time we trip up and make sure we learn that it's okay to say thank you. Let's do that this morning during our invitation. This time is open for prayer, anything that's on your heart. But I just want us to affirm the ladies in our house, in particular our moms. And will you be sure if your mom is here, even if you're not sitting with her, you just go to her and you give her a big hug and you just tell her, thank you, Mom, I love you. Or you find someone you need to do that to. Will you feel free to do that this morning? I hope so. And make this a very personal time as we close this service. Would you stand together and let's sing that little chorus. And as we do it, Doug leads us. You go find your mom or one of the ladies here and just let them know that we say thank you, God, for you. Sing that with us.
I will go. You have called me.
Just hug him, Mom.